From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Anti-lockdown protesters across the U.S. are largely white, conservative, pro-gun, and Trump-loving. They have another thing in common. Their actions are spurred by the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, a notorious right-wing organization that for years has coordinated state-by-state actions to promote a far-right national agenda. Now, my guest David Armiak, research director with the Center for Media and Democracy, points out that ALEC has its fingerprints all over the lockdown protests as well. David's article is called ALEC Leading Right-Wing Campaign to Reopen the Economy Despite COVID-19. Welcome to the program, David.
Thanks for having me.
So let's first start with an explanation, a brief explanation of who ALEC is for those among our listeners and viewers that aren't familiar with it. It's not a household name, right?
No, it's not. Nothing like Alec Baldwin, for example. But if you do Google ALEC, since our investigation into them began, you will see the organization show up quite quickly on the Google results. But ALEC is essentially a pay-to-play operation, with a corporate agenda, right? So it brings together legislators and corporate lobbyists, a couple times a year to fancy resorts where these corporate lobbyists and state legislators meet behind closed doors to draft, develop policy, oftentimes in the form of model legislation, which will have a blank for the state name, a blank for the sponsor, and they'll take it back to the state houses and introduce those. And all of this goes on, without public oversight or public input.
So basically, they have a state-by-state agenda, right? That they are an agenda that they try to carry out one state at a time using these pieces of legislation, these cookie-cutter legislation, maybe adjusting it here and there depending upon the state and its requirements or what the political climate is, rather than a top-down sort of federal approach to legislation. And they've been quite successful. What is, broadly speaking, their agenda? I mean, they seem to basically be pro-gun and pro, most of these standard conservative bread and butter issues.
Yes, correct. They, in recent years, they've been very much, focused on, an anti-worker preemption agenda. Preempting minimum wage ordinances, for example, or paid sick leave or paid family time leave ordinances. So creating a state level policy, right, which will preempt municipalities or counties from passing these types of worker protections. They've also been very instrumental in, defunding and frankly, crushing unions, public sector unions in particular. I just recently wrote about their efforts, post-Janus. Janus, of course, refers to the infamous Janus decision at the Supreme Court, which stated essentially that union members would no longer had to pay their dues, for representation out of, the First Amendment. So they've developed, not only policies, that have hurt unions, but now are working to, further that agenda by figuring out ways, through state policy to decrease public sector union membership. They also are, working to, spread climate misinformation and cast doubt on the, consensus that there is a climate emergency. And they, serve, fossil fuel interests to both cheer on the Trump administration, but also to, advocate for policy changes.
So they have resources, and this is critically important when we think of these anti-lockdown protests, that of course the individuals within them might feel deeply personally motivated to go out and protest their state governor's actions. The fact is that they are getting spurred from somewhere. Obviously, I imagine Fox News is one source of information for them. How do you link ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, with the lockdown protests?
What they're trying to do essentially is to utilize their ties to the Trump administration and their ties to their membership, right, which are legislative members throughout state houses, to push for an opening up of the economy based on the principles that they deeply believe in, which are free market, without many regulations or oversight, it's something that they are trying to do. So they have held a number of calls with Trump officials. For example, Vice President Mike Pence, and according to reports that we saw, in emails that we acquired through open records requests, over 350 people were on that call with Mike Pence. They met with the labor secretary over another call, the late Antonin Scalia's son, also in talking to talk about opening up the economy. And today they're meeting with Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos about the same thing. The head of ALEC, Lisa Nelson, is also deeply involved in this national effort called the Save Our Country Coalition, which features a number of ALEC members or ALEC favorite economists like Art Laffer and Stephen Moore. And this is, again, a very similar effort to what ALEC is doing itself with its membership and tying engage the Trump administration. Trying to reopen the economy, but in a way that, doesn't have a lot of procedures or regulations.
Now, the White House has its own set of guidelines, right, as to how states should be reopening. Those guidelines include making sure that infections are declining over a two-week period. They include having a written plan in place that ensures essential workers get all the protective equipment they need, are tested regularly, which on paper, of course, sounds reasonable. So this is the White House set of guidelines. Some governors are following it, and some governors who are allies of Trump aren't. And Trump and Pence are openly encouraging essentially a flouting of their own federal guidelines.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, like ALEC even goes so far as to say that, of course, health is important, but the businesses and the companies should determine, how their workers should be protected without, micromanagement. And this is an exact quote, without micromanagement from the government. And we have seen time and time again, even with the essential employees that are working, that industry has not done a great job at protecting their workers, from the meat packaging facilities to the Amazon fulfillment centers. Right? People are coming down with the coronavirus in these facilities. So there's no evidence that the situation will be any better if we leave it up to management or industry to determine the best practices to protect the health of workers.
So this organization is meeting with the White House officials, and their goal is to open the economy. But why? What is their, real agenda? I mean, we know that President Trump is deeply interested in restarting the economy because he has hinged his re-election campaign on conventional economic indicators. Is that essentially what ALEC is looking to as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's a hard question to answer exactly, but I think that they for one, are not happy with the fact that some governors are exerting more power, over the legislative members and continuing to keep or to close economies or to only open the economies to essential businesses. But also I think that they're starting to hear from their membership, which are, corporate lobbyists, and these corporations are losing, quite a bit of money each day the economy is not open. So I think they're receiving pressure and, they're responding to that pressure in working together with their membership and, reaching out to with their deep contacts in the Trump administration to get the economy moving again.
So the organization has a lot of clout with the White House. What sort of clout is it also pursuing with state houses and with governors? We know, of course, that governors like Michigan's Gretchen Whitmer and California's Gavin Newsom are attempting to, follow an orderly path out of this pandemic. But then there are, Florida's Rick DeSantis and Texas's Greg Abbott. Is Alec working directly with state governors like the Texas and Florida governors and Georgia's governors, Brian Kemp, to essentially encourage them or offer them support in reopening without a plan?
I have no evidence or have seen, no records which suggest that they are directly working together with these governors. But Alec, is deeply tied to DeSantis in Florida. He was an Alec member. Abbott as well. I would not be surprised if they are receiving Alec emails or some sort of communication, but I, for one, have not received that communication yet, although I've requested communication around this. But Florida and Texas have very large Alec delegations, meaning they have, a large percentage of their state senators and state representatives who are members of Alec. It would not be surprising if, they're working together, to push this Alec agenda, through the states.
So just going back to the piece that you wrote about Alec that was published, by the way, on prwatch.org, you point out that in its letter, Alec writes, "It is possible and preferable for employers to implement best practices to protect the health of their customers and employees without micromanagement from the government." Do they have running through this messaging around the anti-lockdown protests, that standard Republican talking point, which is big government is always bad, we don't want government interference? If so, that seems to me bizarre, given that a public health emergency would be precisely the time when we would need government guidance.
Yeah, right. I mean, to me, it's, in reading this stuff, there's other emails that I've read, from Alec's leader, Lisa Nelson. It sounds to me that she thinks, that this, sort of crisis is, waning and, almost over, and it's time to support business, and we need to get back to, what our agenda has always been, right? Which is, deregulation, free markets, and limited, which means limited government, fiscal responsibility. So they've actually, are advocating as well for no further, bailouts or no further, assistance, and, tax cuts even, which, Trump just gave, the billionaires and millionaires a huge tax cut, which has, led to a massive increase in the federal deficit. For them to, use this as a way to kind of criticize that without even mentioning, the key role that the Trump's tax cuts played in all of this, is also, alarming. But again, as I mentioned before, the fact that they are advocating for companies to, sort of regulate themselves when it comes to, safety and the health of their workers is just outrageous and frank and dangerous.
So they want government to stay out of offering guidelines for reopening, supporting the public, and actually being in line with the public's views, because polls show that most Americans want the lockdowns to continue. But they want government interference when it comes to rewarding corporations and showering corporations with taxpayer-funded largesse, right? So suddenly there's, you know, certain exceptions to their desire for government interference.
Exactly. And I'll add as well that they mention, in that one email that they, you know, want, what is it? I forget the exact phrase they use, but, something to the fact of, lawsuit reform, right? And this is, I think, something that Mitch McConnell has been pushing for as well, so that once these businesses do, you know, reopen and people get back to work, that, you know, if workers get sick on the job, right, if they end up getting coronavirus and really sick, or they end up dying, that the companies themselves will not be liable.
So this is a very sort of unsurprising. The question is, do these folks who are participating in these anti-lockdown protests, you know, like the armed rifle-toting men who stormed the Michigan State House, calling Governor Gretchen Whitmer Hitler, do they know that they're essentially pawns of this pro-corporate organization?
I don't think so. we did another piece, right? So there's a closely aligned organization called the Convention of States, which is advocating for a radical rewrite of the Constitution, and ALEC has pushed for this radical rewrite and offered an opportunity for them to speak at some of their meetings. They have created a site called openthestates.com, and you know, some of the protesters are using the forums on that site to communicate. So they may know about, you know, that connection specifically, but they may not know of the ALEC connection and how ALEC is working, you know, behind the scenes to try to reopen the economy.
How successful has ALEC been so far in this effort against these lockdowns? Do you feel that, given that there are now a handful of states leading this wave of opening, that they've been successful, and do they risk a massive disaster? Because if in a month or two, these states that are reopening are completely plunged into healthcare crises that they can't manage, you know, sort of New York City at its worst over the last few weeks, but all over the country in these states, this could really backfire on ALEC. I mean, they could become a victim of their own success.
Right. It could be the next, you know, sort of PR disaster, you know, like what happened with Trayvon Martin and their Stand Your Ground law. So you could see, yeah, that there's another, what do they call it? The second wave, right? Of infections due to an early reopening. I will say that ALEC, you know, they do really seem to believe that this is, weaning, that this is no longer the crisis that it once was. At the same time that they put this letter together, they put out a invitation to its annual meeting, which will be held in July in Orlando, Florida. They're asking members to bring their families, and you can go to Disney World. I'm not even sure that Disney World is even open at this point, but they're advertising it. So they're encouraging people to prepare and register for the annual meeting. And finally, you know, the letter itself, you know, went out, just after we had published, but it did not draw that many signatures. There were just over 200 signatures on that letter. And ALEC claims to have, you know, somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 members, depending on the year. So that signals to me that, you know, state legislators and corporations are trying to, you know, distance themselves a bit from this publicly.
Now, you also point out in your article that this is not just a pro-corporate organization. In the anti-lockdown protests, there's been explicit participation by basically groups that one would consider hate groups, white supremacist organizations. Can you tell me about that a little bit?
So we've seen, evidence that, the Proud Boys, for example, have been involved in some of these protests. I went to the protest here in Madison, which was not this past Friday, but the Friday before. That protest saw somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 individuals You know, there were folks there, you know, with the 3% logo, you know, they were either wearing it on their shirt or had a tattoo. And, you know, this is a kind of white, known as a white nationalist, you know, militia group. And if you go again to this openthestates.com website, you can find, you know, some of these groups engaging in the particular state sites with the reopen rallies.
And of course, the fact that these are largely white protesters is a huge reason why they've been tolerated, right? I mean, we can only imagine if these were majority people of color walking into, you know, the main houses of state government armed to the teeth with these massive and threatening weapons, screaming in the faces of police officers and security guards. I mean, we're already seeing the implementation or the enforcement of social distancing being extremely racialized, you know, in many cities around the country where people of color are being heavily policed while white Americans are, you know, violating social distancing rules. We're also seeing people get in the faces of security guards. There was the story in Flint, Michigan recently of a black security guard being shot because he dared to ask a person to wear a mask. And so we're seeing Alec really should be linked to the fact that these responses, these anti-lockdown protests, are flirting dangerously with racism and white supremacy.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and to add, right, I mean, the statistics that are coming out from Michigan show that people of color are coming down with, you know, COVID-19 or the coronavirus at a much higher percentage than, you know, white Michiganders. Here in Wisconsin, 25% of the cases are, you know, Hispanic. So, you know, you not only have, you know, a large, if not, you know, majority white presence in these, you know, lockdown or anti-lockdown protests, but also, you know, it's impacting communities of color, you know, at a much greater rate than it is, you know, white communities.
One of the other aspects of this particular story is this idea of religious freedom, right? How has Alec been involved, if at all, as far as you know, on the push to reopen churches as if, you know, a coronavirus infection cannot spread in a church, but can spread, you know, at a regular department store?
Yeah, I mean, that's an important point. So they do, you know, mention at the end of their letter, right, that, you know, people are being arrested, fined, or harassed for attending churches or church services. I'm part of, you know, some coalitions who have been looking at, you know, arrests and protests and tracking these quite closely across the countries. And I have not heard of many cases, if at all, of you know, people being arrested for attending a church service. But this is something that they point out in their letter.
All right. I believe there was a pastor that was arrested in Florida because very early on he violated that state's lockdown and endangered his congregants. I don't believe the congregants were arrested.
Okay. Yeah. So I missed that. But overall, I mean, I just don't see it as like a national problem, right? Right. Now, at the protests I attended in here in Wisconsin, that was definitely a running theme, though. There were a few pastors that spoke, and they, you know, kept saying that only God determines, you know, who lives and who dies and who the coronavirus will take, and that the governor does not have the same powers to determine this, you know, as God does, and he should not, you know, be preventing people from attending church if they want to. This is their right, you know, under the Constitution. Now, Alec has increasingly cozied up to the Christian right. This is something that we've been tracking and trying to gain greater understanding of in recent years. In particular, at the last meeting in December, they announced a partnership with Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a Christian right litigation outfit, you know, anti-LGBT, that really tries to argue against many many rules, regulations, laws that, you know, the right wing, you know, dislikes, but in the name of religious freedom. So most famously, this will be, you know, or that many people may know of is the Masterpiece cake case, where a cake maker in Colorado refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple, citing his, you know, religious beliefs. Right. That case, ADF, or Alliance for Defending Freedom, took all the way up to the Supreme Court and won on behalf of the cake maker.
So this is very much sort of in line with the anti-lockdown desires of churches to reopen, or certainly they just don't want the government telling them that they need to protect themselves.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they use this as a justification. So they're using religious freedom as a justification for, in many cases, discrimination. You know, so whether it be discrimination of, you know, gay people, or, in this case, I guess, a disregard for the rest of the public who might not share their beliefs, just so they can attend church.
Well, David, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your article from our website. I believe it's at prwatch.org.
Yes, correct. We also have another site, exposedbycmd.org.
I see. And we'll post links to both of those. Thanks so much, David.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.
My guest has been David Armiak, Research Director with the Center for Media and Democracy. We've been discussing a piece he recently wrote called "Alec Leading Right-Wing Campaign to Reopen the Economy Despite COVID-19. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.